Monday, April 21st. The lesson from Acts chapter 10, verses 37 through 43. In those days, Peter, standing among the people, said, "You know the word which hath been published through all Judea, for it began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things that he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed, hanging him upon a tree. Him God raised up the third day, and gave him to be made manifest not to all the people, but to witnesses preordained by God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he arose again from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people, and to testify that it is he who was appointed by God to be judge of the living and of the dead. To him all the prophets give testimony, that by his name all receive remission of sins who believe in him." Haydock Commentary. St. John Chrysostom says, "At the very first, the apostles preach Christ crucified, and tell them they had put to death on a cross the Lord of all things, the judge of the living and the dead." We may here admire how wonderfully Peter adapts his discourse to the capacity of his hearers. When speaking to the Jews, he proves Jesus to be their Messiah from the testimony of their prophets. On the present occasion, he only just alludes to the prophets, but confirms his discourse by the testimony of the miracles which Jesus had wrought in public and were known to all the world. Jesus Christ did not announce his resurrection and other mysteries to all at once, but to a chosen few who were to be governors of the rest, teaching us thereby that we have to learn our religion and everything necessary to salvation from the Church of God speaking to us by her ministers. The judge of the living and of the dead. This may be understood of the elect who live by grace and the reprobate who are spiritually dead, or perhaps more literally of those who shall be found living upon earth at the second coming of Christ and of all who have died from the commencement of the world to the end of time. So says St. Augustine. The Gospel from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. At that time, two of the disciples of Jesus went the same day to a town which was 60 furlongs from Jerusalem, named Emmaus. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they talked and reasoned with themselves, Jesus himself also drawing near went with them. But their eyes were held, that they should not know him. And he said to them, "What are these discourses that you hold one with another as you walk, and are sad?" And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said to him, "Art thou only a stranger to Jerusalem, and hast not known the things that have been done there in these days?" To whom he said, "What things?" And they said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in work and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and princes delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we hoped that it was he that should have redeemed Israel. And now, besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company affrighted us, who, before it was light, were at the sepulchre, and not finding his body, came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, who say that he is alive. And some of our people went to the sepulchre, and found it so as the women had said, but him they found not." Then he said to them, "O foolish and slow of heart, to believe in all things which the prophets have spoken! Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and so to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things that were concerning him. And they drew nigh to the town whither they were going, and he made as though he would go farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Stay with us, because it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent." And he went in with them. And it came to pass, whilst he was at table with them, he took bread, and blessed, and brake, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to the other, "Was not our heart burning within us whilst he spoke in this way, and opened to us the scriptures?" And rising up the same hour, they went back to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 gathered together, and those that were staying with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, and how they knew him in the breaking of the bread. Haydock Commentary. St. Jerome thinks that Cleophas, one of the two disciples, was a citizen of Emmaus, and that he invited Jesus to take meat in his house. His house was afterwards changed into a church, which the same father says existed in his time. Some think Cleophas was brother to St. Joseph, others that he was husband of Mary, sister of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and father of St. James the Less. Both the Latins and Greeks keep the feast of St. Cleophas and give him the name of an apostle. Their eyes were held from seeing him, either by our Savior's changing his features, or in whatsoever manner he pleased. "Art thou alone a stranger in Jerusalem? which was to signify that everyone must needs have heard of what had passed in regard to Jesus. It is as if they had lost their former hopes, or now knew not what to hope for. But perhaps, as St. Augustine observes, they might use this caution speaking before a stranger. These two disciples were in the same error as the other Jews, who expected that the Messiah would deliver them from subjection to strangers and re-establish them in their ancient liberty. The cross and passion had been a subject of scandal and fall to them. They say, "We did hope," as if their hopes were now at an end. What increased their diffidence was that Christ had promised to rise again the third day, and some of the women had said that he really had risen. But they expected as public and glorious a manifestation of his resurrection as his death had been ignominious and known to the whole world. If he had wished to manifest his power, he should have done it already by the third day. Thus the disciples reason, as if the third day were already past, and as if it were certain that he was not risen again. So difficult a thing it is to believe what we very ardently wish. The ancient fathers think our Savior consecrated on this occasion and administered the Eucharist to the two disciples. In the Acts of the Apostles, this same term, breaking of bread, is explained without difficulty of the Eucharist. St. Luke seems fond of this manner of expression to signify the sacrament.